Okay, so here are 10 ideas on the Haggadah, and I picked from three different Haggadahs. One is from the Chassam Sofer. It's found in his Perish in Taurus Moshe on Al Torah. And then the second Haggadah I used is the Shem Shmuel, and the third one is the Sfas Emes. So we'll go through 10 different Vartlach on the Haggadah. So the first one, on page number one, is the Chassam Sofer, and he quotes the question that Rishonim ask as to why is there no bracha on Magid? Every other mitzvah we have throughout Kol Torah Kula, throughout the calendar year, we say bracha before him. When you shake the lulav, we say bracha before you shake the lulav. We say bracha on tefillin, we say bracha on tzitzis, we say bracha on sukkah. So why is there no bracha when it comes to the mitzvah Magid? Vigat levincha is a mitzvah deraisa. So he quotes the answers of many that it's bichlal the bracha of Asher Galanu. Asher Galanu is the bracha that's said on Magid, at the end of Magid. So included in that bracha is the bracha on Magid. So asks the Chassam Sofer, but we have a klal when it comes to birchas mitzvahs, that a birchas mitzvah is always prior to the mitzvah. It's over las yasam. So we say a bracha before we put tzitzum. We say a bracha before we tie tzitzum. We say a bracha before we shake the lulav. So how come here the bracha of the birchas mitzvah is after the mitzvah Magid has been performed? So Chassam Sofer is mechadish the following. The Gemara tells us in Pesachim daf kuf tezayim that masil b'gunus mesayim b'shvach. When we go through the story of the Haggadah, we begin with the gnus, the bad parts, when we were over the Avodah Zarah, and we finish off. We talk about the ascent to Gula. So avadim hayinu b'mitzrayim, we were avadim b'mitzrayim, and mitchila from the beginning over the Avodah Zarah hayu. We were serving Avodah Zarah. And says the Chassam Sofer, just like Kishem, Shechai Vadim Liro, says Atzmo Kilu Hu Yatzam Yitzrayim, just like a person has to envision himself as if he's leaving Yitzrayim, he also has to envision himself Kamo Kein Chayv Adam Liro, Atzma Atzmo Kilu Hu Haya Ovid Avodah Zarah. We have to also view ourselves as if we were worshipping idols in the beginning. So the whole entire Seder of Galus to Gula, we have to re-envision, re-experience the Leil Seder. So if we're envisioning ourselves from the beginning of Magid as Ovid Avodah Zarah, and the klal is that one of the exceptions where we say the bracha, the birchas mitzvah, after the mitzvah is by tfilas ger, because a ger cannot say the bracha before he goes to the mikvah. He can't say asher kedisham b'mitzosav v'tzivanu when he's still a guy. So you only say the bracha after the fact. So too, here as well, since we talk about we were initially mitchila over the Avodah Zarah, we couldn't say the bracha of Magid because we're over the Avodah Zarah. We can only say the bracha after we go through Magid, after we go through the process of Geula and the Tevila and the Geiris, then we say the bracha after the fact. And that's the Chiddush of the Chassam Sofer. Okay, the next piece, if you look at number two, it also in the Chassam Sofer is as follows. This is a very, very important Yisod as it relates to Chinuch. Mitzvah Hashem, you guys will get there very soon. So he quotes in the bottom right here, V'af atahakeh shinov, that we knock out the teeth of the Rasha. The Ksiv it says in Yirmiyahu, Avos Ochlu Bosa, the Avos ate, or they fed Bosa, which is an underdeveloped, underripe grape. The Shnei Banim Takena, the teeth of the children you knock out. So Chassam Sofer says a very, very important issue. Listen to this. Einenu Ravos, our IC, Kiha Avos, our fathers, Afa Pishalo, Saru Midvar Hashem, even though our fathers are not doing anything against Hashem, they're following the mitzvahs, Osim Kol Mitzoseim, they're doing everything, they're wearing Tzitzis, Tefillin, they go to Minyan, they're learning Mitzvah Anashim Milumda, but they're doing it because it's a habit. They're doing it because that's what they saw their fathers do, and their fathers do, and their fathers do. They do it because by rote. Aval Ein Shomim V'lo Lomdim V'lo Yishma Al Piyam, we never hear or see on their mouths Shum Devar Torah or Musa. It might be our parents are going through the motions, it might be that they are, but they're not saying any Dvar Torah. They're not saying any Divi Musa. They're not saying any Divi Chizik. They're not speaking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They're not speaking about Emunah Bitachon. They're not speaking about Hashkacha Pratis. Veinam Akabal Pnei Shemora Torah. And they're not accepting upon themselves any Rav, any Mora Hara, any Posek, any Darshan, any Rebbe. Vabonim She'enim Rowan V'shomim Me'avoseim Shem Shemayim Shagur Befim. And the children see their fathers come home from shul. They're going to shul. They're keeping Shabbos. They come home and they talk about sports, they talk about news. They don't talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They don't talk about the Divrei Torah. They don't talk about the Parsha. Lo ro likach musar. They don't take any musar. So the children see this. The father does nothing wrong. Mamish does everything right. Kedas v'kedin, everything. But doesn't talk about Hashem. Lahem nechsha ma'ase avoseihem. So the children, when they see their fathers just doing, it looks like shigon v'shtus. They're doing things that make no sense. They're doing things that are nonsense, but even though they're doing mitzvahs, sheshomrim shabbos manichin tefillin. They're keeping Shabbos. They're wearing tefillin. They're einam ochen nevel. They're not eating treif. They're following all the good hashkachas, the most chumra hashkachas. Akarchach yotzim michlal yisrael. Nonetheless, they leave Am Yisrael. Vein lashimam. Don't be upset at the children. Ki avoseim ochlu apikorsis. The fathers are feeding them apikorsis. And he says, that's what it means here in the Haggadah. V'af ata hakeshinav. I mean, and you should also knock his teeth. Says the Chassam Sofer at the end here, that just like we knock out the Rosh's teeth, we also knock out Afata, even your teeth, the father's teeth. Because the reason why the child's a Rosh is because of the parents. The parents are doing everything right, but they don't have the feeling, they don't have the connection, they don't have the Hargosha, they don't talk about it Kadosh Baruch Hu. Once saw a mice, it's not a true mice, but it gets the point across. One point a boy woke up and he ran to the base magic. He was very, very nervous. He was schwitzing. And the boy's other guy said, what's wrong? Why are you so nervous? He said, I had a terrible dream last night. I had an awful dream. I need a hatavas chalamos. I need you guys to say with a special tefillah to get rid of the bad dreams. So what was the bad dream? I don't want to say. And they convinced him to share what the bad dream was. The bad dream was that he saw the image of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in his dream. He says, why is that a bad dream? That's a great dream. It's not a good dream. The Pasuk says, you can't see Hashem and live. And I saw Kadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not going to live. I need hatavas chalamos. They said, no, you know the way dreams work? Dreams work is whatever you thought of during the daytime, so that's why you thought about it at nighttime. So you must tell me, you're thinking about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. He says, I wasn't thinking about God once, not even for a second. I'll tell you what I did the day before him. I woke up early in the morning, I had a chavrusa before davening. I davened a nice shacharis, I had a nice muster seder, I had a nice halacha seder, a first seder, a beautiful shir, second seder, bekiyas, a chazara, everything. I didn't think about God even one time. And the point is, we do a lot of things in this world, whether they're doing the right things, even doing the right things, and yet we don't think about Kadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Chassam Sofer, a child in Russia, because they see their father when he's keeping halacha, but he doesn't feel it, doesn't talk about Kadosh Baruch Hu, hashkacha pratis, emunah bitachon, those types of topics, divrei Torah, that's why we even knock out the teeth of the father. It's important to, when Mitzvah Hashem, you get married, have children, to speak about these important topics, not just the news, and not just the sports, but a lot more than just that. Next piece is a, whoever's up, hopefully be up for this, but I'm not sure if you could share this, just because no one wants to hear you say Divrei Torah by Chad Gadya, but at least for your own appreciation of Chad Gadya, it's certainly a fun song. In our house, it's Labor Day, the kids are enjoying it, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning. But just to have a little understanding, and this is an understanding that many, many of Farshim say, this is probably the Pashim Shan Chad Gadya, but just see it in the Chassam Sofer, number three as follows. Chad Gadya, if you dimyon hashunir achashra sha'achlu legadya, it appears that the cat ate the goat. The lesson, not true. Keep a chal makom nishar chad. Each stanza, we talk about chad gadya, the roa, benishichas hashunra, and we see how the dog, the cat bit, and the lakisas, and the kelev, and the dog licked up, the chayin bukum, all of them attacked the chad gadya and everything that went on there. Uvasof, in the end of the day, lom nishar kiim hakadosh baruch, um chad gadya shalom. In the end of the day, there's a chad gadya, and there's a kadosh baruch. Hainu Yisrael, we are the Chad Gadya, we are that little kid goat. Shenechalim b'chol peh, that every single nation tried eating us, biting us, attacking us. V'yase kala b'chol goyim, and we wiped out the goyim, every nation that attacked us, from Mitzrayim to the French to the Spaniards and so on and so forth to Hamas. V'oschol l'esa kala, but it comes to Am Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't wipe us out. We are the Chad Gadya. When we're singing that song, and all the animals in that song, they represent different nations that have attacked us, and they have been destroyed, but we perhaps have been injured, but certainly we were not wiped out, and we stand alone with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Chad Gadya, a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Okay. Next piece is from the Shem Shmuel. This goes to the beginning of the Seder night. It's a very chashuv thing to sing the Seder, Kadosh Baruch Hu. Why do we sing that? It's nice, it's cute, we learned the song in school, but why do we sing that? It's part of the Seder, you're supposed to say it. Because it's a night of Seder, and there's a lot to talk about how Pesach is about putting Seder in one's life. An order in one's life. It's important to have structure in one's life, have goals of how to get to certain things and their levels to grow to. The Shem Shmuel asks an interesting question. He says, if the Seder is incorrect, though. In the Seder, it says, it's strange because normally you would imagine, why do we eat matzah before the Mar? if the maror represents the avdus and the matzah represents the gula, it really should have maror first, which represents avdus, and the matzah, which is gula, should come after the maror. Why do we say matzah before maror? So the Shem Yishmael says, we'll read this inside quickly. He writes in number 4, Tam shenikre suta zu seder. The reason why this is called the seder. Amar admura harim chidush harim migur. Api divrei hamaral she'ein hanisim bimikre. Miracles, as we know, don't happen by chance. Ela she'esh seder l'nisim. There's an order to have nisim happen. V'yeshli l'hosib ba. And I want to add on to the maral, says the Shem Yishmael. She'adu b'kavanas harizal. It's well known, the kavanah of the harizal. She'bilay lezeh tonight, the leil seder night. The special kedushas and light that come down in Leil Seder don't come in order. They jump, they skip. You know, Pesach is called Passover, Poseach, to skip over. You know, I don't have the zechus of Weimer giving the drushes anymore at Shabbos, but my daughter goes and she tells me the drushes afterwards. Rav Weimer spoke this past Shabbos about how it's called Passover. Kadosh Baruch Hu, when he saw the blood on the mezuzahs, he wasn't passing over. He was jumping over. He was dancing over. He was celebrating the fact that they were keeping mitzvahs. He was dancing around them. He wasn't like, okay, let's move on. No, he didn't say move on. He was excited about it. There was a dilug of a jumping excitement, a hip and a hop, if you will. So there's a dilug, the nisim kam bedilug. Azem machnim lasuda ze seder kanal. The reason why we have such a seder in this way, that it's not in order. L'horosh hazeb seder nifl. This is a wondrous seder. It's not an seder, but beteva. It's not how things work naturally, but it's a seder nifla. Ubepshita shelachora hayatzarach liyos hamara shebala zecha veimarus chayem kodem lematzah shezicha legula. As we asked, mara should be before the gula of matzah. Ki yeshivud kodem legula. The slavery, of course, was prior to the redemption. Aval hakol beseder nifla. The reason why it was dafka out of order that matzah comes before mara, to tell us that this whole seder night's not a seder al piteva, the seder nifla, a seder nifla al pinisim, and that's the idea. Why we sorrow for the Seder, Kaddish Urch has to tell us that there's a Seder, but we may not understand, appreciate the Seder. It's a Seder Nifla, it's a Seder of Nisim. That's what he writes. And go to number 5 from the Shem Yishmael as well. There's a very, very beautiful shtickle here as well. He talks about the Tivel Rishon, the first dipping, the Karpas in the salt water. What's the Inyan? And I'll say this one outside maybe. He writes that normally we have vegetables, we have appetizers to whet our appetite and to get us hungry. But here we have a little karpas, whether it's celery, whether you have potatoes, whatever you might use. And then we don't eat matzah for a long time. I mean, then we go into a long magid, depending on the seder, could be an hour, 2-3 hours. So it's not really serving as an appetizer. Why is there such a big separation between tibul rishon, the first time we're eating something, and then all the way to matzah later on in the meal? So says the Shem Yishmael as follows. He writes that this big separation was in order to get us to be very hungry. Right, imagine you have a big suda coming up, a big barbecue, and they give you a little hors d'oeuvre, little hot dogs beforehand, but they say 3 hours later you're going to have the hamburgers and everything else, and the steaks. So you're going to be really hungry. So when you taste a little something, your mouth's going to get watery, and you're going to get even hungrier for it. So says the Shem Yishmael, the way the gula worked in the times of Mitzrayim was, Moshe showed up, he says, I'm your hero, guys, I'm the leader, I'm the manhig here, and by the way, I'm leaving for 6 months. He introduced himself and ran away for 6 months and came back 6 months later to start taking them out. So what was the point of that? So Shem Yishmael says that Am Yisrael didn't have the cheshek. They didn't have the tshuka, the desire, the thirst to leave. They didn't have a thirst for kedusha. They were on such a low level. So Moshe Rabbeinu had to give him a little taste, a little flavor, a little teaser, if you will. And then he left. And then they kind of thought about it. They let it, soak a little bit, the concept. And that started to get them taste, the thirsty and want the gula even more. And he did this on purpose to get them excited about something. You know, it works like in any business. You want to get the consumer excited. So what do? You take them around and, I'll take you for a ride around the block. And you see a nice BMW and it's a beautiful screen and the lights on the side. And you see the speed limit in the window. And then you see the reverse camera, the fancy reverse camera. And you can see the overhead reverse camera. And you go all different directions. And it's a nice leather seat. And it goes back and remembers your settings each time. And all the other fancy things that I probably don't even know about. You get a little taste of it, but you don't own it. Well, no, I can't go back. Once you taste it, it's hard to go back. You know, it's like if you fly first class, it's hard to go back. So they give you like a free bump up. You taste it. Oh, it's nice, extra space. I go in first. I get off first. I get a meal. This is great, but I didn't pay for it. But now, next time I got guests in the back now. I don't want to sit in the back. I want to sit in the front now. So they give you a little taste of something. That's how it works in business. And then you want more of it. So it works in the Kedusha as well. Give you a little flavor. Or like a radio show. They tell you a great story. And then, now next up, we have this great speaker. Incredible speaker coming. I won't tell you who it is. We'll be back after this special commercial from our sponsors. And then 5 minutes later, you hear who that was. But like now you're, I was going to go somewhere, but now, who's the speaker? Or breaking news right after this commercial break. So all these teasers are to get you excited and thirsty. So Moshe Rabbeinu did the same thing. He showed up. Hi, guys. See you later. And he ran away. And they said, wait a second. Is he saving us? Where'd he go? We want him back. They started thinking more. And the tshuka for the geula and for the kedusha all got stronger and stronger. And they were ready. He said, same thing here as well. The tiva rishon was a little flavor. Taste the appetizer now. But you can't taste the geula. You can't taste the matzah for 3 hours later. That was the concept. And he says, that's what's going to be as well. And the time is the final redemption. He says, when it says in the pasuk, "B'shuv Hashem Ashiyosir Hainu Kuchomer," we're going to be dreaming. We're going to be sleeping. We're sleeping now when the geula is going to come, because if we were awake, we wouldn't be able to handle it. We need to somehow soften like the return, the geula, the coming of Mashiach. So, like Moshe had a little soft introduction, he ran away. So, in a different way, we are sleeping, and when Mashiach comes, we're not going to be so excited because we're sleeping. It's going to be a shock that we won't really be waking up from. But since we're sleeping, we're going to slowly wake up, and then as we begin to arise, then we'll appreciate the geula that's going to be. And that's what's the Indian of the Tivel Rishon. You go now to number 6, and we're moving on to the Sfas Emes. The next 5 pieces are from the Sfas Emes. Sfas Emes, number 6, says as follows. This is a deep yisod, but I thought it's something nice to have, when eating matzah, which is the focal point of the Seder, to have something deep in mind. And he says that the Chacham asks the question, the Sheilas Chacham is, Ma Eidus V'Chukim? What are these Eidus? What are the Chukim? And we know a Chok has no reason. So why is he asking, what are the Chukim? Just do the Chok. Why is he asking about what it's... So the Sfas Emes says that Magid Rav Yaakov Mishpatim Chukam Mishpatim Yisrael. The Chukam Mishpatim are given to Yisrael. B'nai Yisrael actually know we can understand Chukam. Well, we were not told. We were told the Chok has no reason. So he explains that if a person does a Chok because he believes the Kadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him, he does it without understanding it. If you have that Amunah to do a Chok without understanding it, then that very Amunah, says the Sfas Emes, will then give you a hargash, a feeling of the tam. You may not be able to understand it, comprehend it, but if you do it, I'm going to do this chok because I'm not going to wear shatan is, which is like a negative, but paraduma, whatever the chokim are, if you do it because simply Akash Baruch Hu told me, and you do it with real emuna, then you'll be granted a hargash, a feeling of the tam that's behind it somehow. That's the deep yisov the Sfas Emes says. Matzah represents that. Matzah has very little tam. Even though it does mention you're supposed to have tam matzah, but the tam of matzah is not very exciting. It's not very tasty. It's not very tasty at all. It's somewhat bland. But the fact that we're willing to eat matzah without adding cream cheese or tuna fish or whatever else you might want to add to it, we're having it just plain, meaning we're having the tam of matzah, b'li tam. We're having a chok, b'li tam. So just like a chok has no reason, matzah without tam, which is the same word for reason and taste rather, matzah below tam is like chok below tam. But if you eat the matzah without having to add anything to it, without cream cheese, tuna fish, sauce, whatever you might want to add to it, you have it plain. You believe that this matzah represents something deep, then, says the Sfas Emes, you're going to connect to the deep reason of matzah. You're going to connect to the tam, the reason of matzah. If you eat it without taste, you'll be zocha to the tam, the reason behind it. There's a deep yisod. But the point is that when we eat matzah, don't think about the flavor. Think about me eating it, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu told me to eat. And it gives you some type of ruchnius, a dikka connection to Kodesh Baruch Hu and the mitzvahs. Okay, look at the next one, number 7. Sfas Emes writes, further, this is a nice question he asks. It says in Oz Yashir that the Am Yisrael were zocha to see Kodesh Baruch Hu, Zekeli Vanvei. Zekeli, this is my God. They saw God. Oz Yashir, whatever that means. And then we have a pasuk tells us Shmos that Moshe Rabbeinu asks the Kadosh Baruch Hu, "Hareini nami kvodecha, show me your kavod." That's what Moshe Rabbeinu asked to see a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Let me see you. So asks the Sfas Emes, didn't Moshe Rabbeinu already see him? Kriyas Yamzuf, if Am Yisrael said Zekeli v'anveyu, certainly Moshe Rabbeinu said Zekeli v'anveyu. So why is he now asking after the fact that I want to see you? "Hareini nami kvodecha, show me some of your honor." He already saw. So Sfas Emes explains that sometimes a person's real belief, they could conjure up a vision that never really happened. It happens in courts. In criminal court, a person may have been a witness, and they may have observed what happened, and sometimes they begin to make up things that never really happened. They believe it happened, they thought they saw this, they thought they saw that, and it really didn't happen, but they mamish created a vision in their head as if it actually happened. And you have to have the right lawyers to figure out whether they're making it up or telling the truth. I don't know how to do that, obviously, but that's what happened. He said, Be'emes, Am Yisrael did not see. When they said, Zeh Kev Ya'anveh, it meant, Ve'yaminu Ba'Hashem and Moshe Avdo, they had such a belief in HaKadosh Baruch and Moshe Benu, that the belief was so strong, it was able to conjure up a vision of HaKadosh Baruch that wasn't really true. But they were able to say, Zeh Kelev Ya'anveh, they thought it was true. So if that was the case, so Moshe Benu never saw HaKadosh Baruch then, and therefore it was appropriate for him to say that, Hareini Na Mikodecha, show me some of your kavod, because he never actually saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The point is, if a person really believes in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, believes in something, it could conjure up some real vision that really isn't very true. But either way, there's a nice pshat to this kasha on whether Moshe Rabbeinu saw or Zeh Kelev Ya'anveh was taken literally or not literally. Okay, number eight, this connects to tomorrow's Shir Klali about Shlichus. It's a nice idea as well, but it's a machshava angle. It says, "Vayotzein Hashem lo yedes malach lo yedes sarif," that Moshe Rabbeinu, rather HaKadosh Baruch Hu, took out Am Yisrael by himself. No angel, no messenger, no in-between, just HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself. And he writes, if you look inside, "Ki davar nasa yedei malach," if something was done by the malach, v'shliach, or an agent, "hu kafi hadargas shliach," it would go according to the level of the shliach. "V'lo haya kol ha'gula rak kafi madregazu," that had the agent, whoever would have been the shliach, would have been a dilution, a downgrade of the gula, had it not been a Kadosh Baruch Hu. If Kadosh Baruch Hu did it, as he did, it was a gula leolam, it was a gula nitzchi. But had it been done by a shliach or malach, it would have been much more diluted. Aval hagula ha'yisai de'a Kadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmo, v'hu shleimus kol olamos, he was able to somehow complete all the worlds, v'chayos kol havan, the entire world and the life. L'chein ha'gula haba mikocho kol es kol ha'madregos, he was able to encompass all the different levels. Fine. But he says, wait a second. HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't take out Am Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu was a shliach. HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped out with Makkah's Bechorot, but Moshe was a shliach in every other Makkah. It wasn't completely HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it says that to Avram Avinu, the Bris Bein Abasarim, and he told Avram that his grandchildren are going to go down to Mitzrayim. It says, "Dan Anochi, I HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will judge, I will take out the punishments. I'll give them the Eser Makos and everything that went along with it." But Lamaisa is Moshe Rabbeinu who was the agent. He was a shliach. And then when Moshe Rabbeinu was sent to Paro, it says in the pasuk, "Mi anochi keilecha Paro?" Who am I to go? He was saying, "I am not anochi. I'm not a Kadosh Baruch Hu. They want you. Anochi. You promised Avram dan anochi. I'm not anochi. How come you're sending me?" So how come this was considered vayotzi in Hashem ayde atzmo b'chvod v'atzmo if it was really Moshe Rabbeinu? So says the Sfas Emes, that Moshe Rabbeinu was such an un of gadol, he was nispatel himself with mitzias to Kadosh Baruch Hu. It was kilu Kadosh Baruch Hu was doing it, even when it was going to Moshe Rabbeinu. If we add some lamdas into shlichas, we're talking about 2 weeks ago and tomorrow as well, we said it's the shlucho adam kamosa. How much is the shliach like the mishalech? Is he just having the ma'isa? He's a different person, but he's sending the ma'isa back to the mishalech, or is the shliach kaguf of the mishalech? If the shliach is batel to the mishalech, and Moshe Rabbeinu is batel to the mishalech, Hakadosh Baruch Hu, so the Moshe Rabbeinu is a nothing. Moshe Rabbeinu is keguf shel Kadosh Baruch Hu, whatever that means, but there was a complete bittul to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it was considered a direct action of and from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the lumnus, but that's also the machshava of the Sfas Emes. The next one, number nine, the Sfas Emes, Mishamda, of course, everyone sings that these days. Two different songs, I assume everyone sings in the house. And it's a big question in the Mefarshim. What does Vehisha Amda mean? That it stood. What's it? So the classic parish, come out every Haggadah that has Vehi, stands for Vav is Vav, the Shisha Sidmeh Mishmah. In Mishnah, He is the Chamishich Mishatara, Yud is Aser Sadibros, and Aleph is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Those things, Vehi, that stood for us all these years. But the Sfas Emes has a different taich. Vehisha Amda, he says, really going on what it says afterwards, Shlo Echad Bilvad. That wasn't only one nation. Sfas Emes says, it wasn't, don't interpret it one nation. Shel Achtus, it wasn't Achtus. In other words, had all the nations, all the enemies of the world attacked us at once, we wouldn't be able to withstand it. Kadosh Baruch Hu did us a tova, that he didn't have them all come be Achtus. It wasn't Echad Bilvad. It was first these nations, Germans and the Spaniards and the French and the British and the Muslims, whatever it might be. But because he separated them all together, that's what stood for us. As a big Tova Kadosh Baruch Hu did, it's part of the Jews' nature, the part of Am Yisrael is to go through these persecutions and gullus from place to place. But thank God, Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't put them be'achdus. He didn't put them together. And that's what really stood for us, he explained. They don't have achdus, we have achdus, but they, Baruch Hashem, don't have achdus. And a final one, we'll finish with this on Afikoman. It's as follows, a short piece of Afikoman. This perhaps you could say over, it's a small idea. It's also, I mentioned another Haggadah as well. But you see here in the Sfas Emes as follows. What's the concept of the Afikoman? Remez ha-havtzvanas ha-afikomen, the hiding afikomen is kines Yitzis Mitzrayim haya hachana l'chol ha-gulos. Yitzis Mitzrayim was the first galos, it was also the first gula, and therefore since it was the first gula, it was really the paradigm. It was setting up for all future gulas. V'lachein ein halal shalim b'mei ha-pesach. For that reason, there's no full halal during Pesach other than the first day, but there's no halal shalim other than that. Ki adayin lo nigma ha-gula, the Yitzis Mitzrayim. So long as we're still going through a gulas of sorts, that means the Gulas Mitzrayim wasn't complete. Yes, it was complete befrat by Mitzrayim, but Gulas Mitzrayim was meant to be for the Gula of all generations to come, and we haven't completed it yet. So if we haven't completed it, we can't say Halal Shalom yet during Pesach. Each generation, we're getting closer and closer to the Gula of Mitzrayim, the Gula that we're waiting for. For that reason, therefore the Matzah, which represents Gula, we save, we hide afterwards to represent and symbolize the future gula that we're waiting for that does come from the matzah Mitzrayim will be the same gula of the gula also will come from the same matzah of Mitzrayim. Okay? Stop here, guys. Shkoyach.